Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So there are a lot of love songs in the world. In fact, my voice, I'm talking about, just makes me a little crazy. All the love songs there are sometimes on the radio. So many about how wonderful somebody is, how in love somebody is with somebody else. Although I have to say, as I've been listening to them, I really want, usually people are in love with someone else's body. I'm like, could you be in love with her mind or how kind she is or something else, right? But there are all these love songs on the radio. Although for all of the love songs there are, things must not always turn out very well, because there are probably an equal number of breakup songs, aren't there? The ones where you've done me wrong and I'm leaving you, and I was listening to a country station the other day, and I think it was 90% breakup songs, and there were not nice names being said about other people in the middle of the breakups. But this is the way love is. When you choose to love, you also may be hurt. That's just the reality. When we love, we also hurt. Whether or not we even break up, we will be hurt when we love people. And I think about my little life and the small amount of people in my world whom I have loved and how I have been hurt. And then I think about God and about how God loves all of creation and yet is hurt over and over and over again by creation. And yet this amazing God we have just keeps loving us. Last week, we heard from the prophet Hosea. And Hosea talked about the people of God as a wife who was having all kinds of affairs, and then as a child who was willful and running away. And through all of that unfaithfulness, God kept loving the people. Now today we have the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah writes what's called the Song of the Vineyard, the love song to God's people. And God says, you know, you are this awesome vineyard, and I planted you. I cleared the rocks. I made this beautiful vineyard. I made you. I made creation. And I expected these wonderful grapes from you, but I didn't get them. Right? Because you didn't produce great grapes. You produce seedy, sour, unedible sort of grapes. And so God says, you know, I'm going to do something here. Oh, but before that, God also is very clear to them what that means, lest we miss the metaphor here. We say, oh yeah, grapes, well, what does that mean? God says later in it, I expected righteousness, and I didn't get it. I expected justice, and I didn't get it. And those two words are really important in Hebrew, because I think we don't think of them in the same ways they would have been used. Justice, we often think of as people get what they deserve. That's justice in our world. But justice in Hebrew doesn't mean that. It means that everybody has what they need, that there is an equal sharing, that the poor are being taken care of, that there is enough for everyone. This is justice in the Hebrew sense of justice. And that wasn't happening. People weren't being taken care of. And then God said, and I asked you to do righteousness. And I think when we think of righteousness, we think it means you're a very upstanding member of society if you're righteous. But righteousness in the Hebrew, again, means something different. It means that you do right by other people, that you treat people the way God would like you to. And that wasn't happening either. These things weren't happening, and so God is angry. And here's what God does. God takes away the fence from the vineyard and all of the protections that are surrounding the vineyard and says, well, now we're going to see what happens. And I think what's important about that is this. People say, oh, God punishes the people. God isn't punishing the people. God is merely taking away the protection so that the natural consequences are going to be felt. And isn't that true in our world? Isn't that true? We have consequences for the things that we do. Too often, I think we want to go to God to make things right for us that we have wronged. And that's not what God is for. God isn't here to clean up all of our messes. There are consequences for our actions. And we wife had left him. And he was so upset. And he had been emotionally abusive and very controlling of his wife. It had not been a healthy relationship. And at one point he said to me, "Why is God punishing me? Why did God make her leave me?" And I was thinking, okay, how do I be pastoral here? Because God didn't make her leave you. You were a jerk, right? Like, you made her leave you. This is a consequence of how you've been treating her. And we might roll our eyes at this man and say, "Oh, of course, that's so clear." But think about how often we do that, too, in our own lives. Maybe not in that instance, but we come to God because we want God to fix something for us, or we wonder why we've been punished when really we're the ones who created the situation in the first place. There are consequences, and God doesn't swoop in to take those away. But what God does, and God promised the people of Israel, is that God would always be there with them in those consequences. The people of Israel are taken away to Babylon. They're taken into exile, but God never leaves them. They get it wrong over and over and over again, and God never leaves them. In this bizarre reading we had from the gospel today, this is kind of an allegory of Jesus coming back to the vineyard and being killed. God comes in the form of Jesus. We kill him, but God never leaves us. There are consequences, but God is there. And in fact, God has a vision for what the world can be. We see that in the second half of this reading for today. It's a beautiful reading. A shoot will come out of the stump of Jesse. That stump of Jesse is David, King David's father. And so it's saying someone will come out of this lineage of David. And out of something dead, this dead stump, will come a shoot. And even if it's tiny and fragile, it is life. And that is what God will give us, even when it doesn't seem so. Now this reading goes on to talk about a leader who will come and will show righteousness and justness. And the reading continues, it didn't today, but continues. Many of you know this part where the wolf will lie down with the lamb, right? And there will be no more war and it will all be peace. People have said that this shoot coming out of the stump is Jesus. Now we don't actually know that's who Isaiah was talking about. It's beautiful because he came with all of those things. But as you read this, you think, I think to myself, okay, wait a minute though. That hasn't happened, right? There is not peace. The wolf has not lied down with the lamb. The wolf are still eating the lambs pretty hungrily, right? So why hasn't this happened? If Jesus came and here is the promise, why aren't we living it? Well, I don't know. Jesus said Jesus is coming back, but I think what it gives us is hope that someday this will be. And we hold on to that hope. And we know that in the meantime, we get glimpses of it. We get little pictures of that peace and that joy that Jesus brings into the world. And also, we get to be a part of it. Because when Jesus came into the world, Jesus said, you know, again, justice, righteousness, you are the church. What are you going to do? We are called to make that vision become real on earth. Now, I think too often as Christians, maybe one of the things we get blamed for, and it's true, is getting too wrapped up in personal salvation. Right? So whether or not we're going to go to heaven. If you look at the Bible, I mean, that's great. We can talk about heaven. Heaven's awesome. But if you look at the Bible, over and over again, heaven is talked about like this much. Jesus never comes to the people and says to them, I think we should talk about whether or not you're going to heaven. Jesus comes and says, how are you treating the poor? How are you treating the oppressed? What are you doing to love your neighbor? God did it all the way through the Hebrew scriptures. Jesus continues to do it, and that's what they are asking us too. And so instead of just thinking about ourselves and whether we're going to get into heaven, we are called God might come and say you're praying to the wrong gods. But what God wants to know is, are you doing justice? Are you acting with righteousness? Are you taking care of your neighbor? We just have, this is our last night of emergency shelter partnership. And we can pray for the homeless people in our community all that we want to. And I think it's great, and I think we should again. Do not hear me say we shouldn't pray. But we can also open our doors and offer them meals and give them a warm place to sleep. That is doing justice and righteousness. So thank you to all of you who have been a part of that this week. That is being the church. And that is a little picture of what God is calling us to as people of God. And the consequences of that are so beautiful. Our bad actions have consequences, but so do these beautiful things that God calls us to. And aren't those the consequences we would rather live with? We have an amazing God. Our God should have written us a breakup song long, long time ago. And it should have been God who was saying, do the walking, y'all get out of here, right? But God doesn't. God writes us a love song and tells us over and over again that God will not leave us and that someday there will be this perfect kingdom. But until then, we get to be a part of the kingdom here on earth. And we get the chance to use our hands and our hearts to do justice and righteousness. And isn't that a beautiful